Crank up the volume and get ready. It's time for Independent Artist Spotlight, right here on MusicRanchRadio.com.
All right, here we are, 7:01 here on Independent Artist Spotlight, and what a night, man. I'm so excited because we got Lee Kelvin in the studio, we got Greg the Rockstar Creasy on the phone, and we're ready to rock and roll. We got Willie's on the desk. I mean, what more could we ask for?
Not much more.
No, that's right. How you doing tonight, Lee?
Oh, I'm wonderful. How you doing?
If I was any better, I'd have a runaway. I really would. You know, because I get so excited because here's the thing. We very seldom do we get somebody in the studio for Independent Artist Spotlight that's live.
As those are the most memorable, too.
They are. They absolutely are.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got Greg here that's going to – he's out in Illinois.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm kind of in your old neck of the woods, Lee.
That's right. That's right. Do you know how far are you from southeast Iowa there?
Across we are, well, I'm about 25 miles east of Rockford, so northern Illinois.
Yeah, yep.
Hanging out in, are you in Woodstock or in Marengo?
I am in Marengo right now.
All right, there you go. Well, Lee, we're going to start off tonight just, you know, normally I put about 10 questions together about how you got started, how old you were, where you were, but I'm just going to say take it from where you came from and how you got started in music.
Yeah, you bet. Well, I was born and raised in southeast Iowa, a little town called Wayland. We always kind of go by distance or time out there, so it was, you know, about an hour from Iowa City. If you look at the corner of the map, it's approximately an hour from the Missouri border and an hour from the Mississippi River. So right down there in the corner. The hilly part of the state.
Hill country.
The hill country. There that's right. No mountains, but we had ravines, very shallow ones. And yeah, so I grew up down there, born and raised. I lived there until, I moved out here when I was 25. I spent almost all 25 years in southeast Iowa. The last 3 years were in Iowa City before I moved out here. And, yeah, I've been out here ever since.
Farm kid or city boy?
Well, it depends. It depends on which side of the family you ask. If you ask my mom's side, I think I was probably, they referred to me as a city slicker at one point. But we lived in a town of 800 people, and we were on the very last road in town, and it was an old farmstead. I kind of grew up doing farm work. I worked a lot of turkeys and a little bit of pigs, but not much, things like that. Yeah. My second job actually was right in the cornfields. So when I was 12 years old, we had a lady came by and I signed some papers, and she changed my birthday, and I was able to go into detassel corn. So,
yeah.
That was a job out in the Midwest.
Yeah, it was. It was, and yep. I remember the second year we went from just under $5 an hour to just over $5 an hour, and we thought, oh man, that was the biggest pay raise we were ever going to get.
You were making
a career.
That's right.
When did you get started with music? I mean,
well, I started, my first instrument was actually violin. Now being 34 years old and looking back on it, I wish I never would have quit, because those are invaluable out here now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was my first instrument, and then from there I went and started piano, and I quit doing violin shortly after that. Stuck with piano till I was about 12, and at that point is when I started kind of picking around on guitars, and the first guitar I had only had two strings. It was an old Sears and Roebuck electric guitar that my grandpa had in his attic. And he said, well, if you want it, you can have it.
Probably worth 30 grand now.
I hope not, because I did some damage to that thing. Got that, and I played those two strings hard enough that my parents said, well, if he's going to play a two-string guitar, you know, we may as well get him a real one. And they bought me a Yamaha acoustic at a flea market down in Missouri, and that's what I started on. And then a couple years later, got an electric, and tried the rock star thing for a while.
And the rest is history.
That's right.
We're going to talk about a lot of stuff, including your stint with Kalen Beasley and Bad Intentions and all that. But we're going to kick off by having you do a song, because you've got your, you want to tell us about that Martin or you're packing there?
I've been loving this thing. I got it a few months ago. It's always been a dream of mine to get, well, a guitar that was worth playing, you know, and I've played, besides that Yamaha, a lot of kind of really boxy, heavy type guitars. It never really sounded good, and I've been saving up for one for a while, and every time I would get to a certain point, you know, I was trying to save up for an HD35, which is another style of Martin, and those are pretty pricey, and get, you know, about halfway there, and all of a sudden you need tires on the truck, and you need this, and you need
kids
that.
Need a new pair of shoes.
Absolutely. And
I know exactly how that goes.
Well, I went on Facebook. I'm a part of this group called Martin Guitar Owners and Friends, and I asked them. I said, hey, I'm lowering my budget. I want to get a good Martin guitar. What do you think I should get? And you got a number of responses, and they were all different, and one guy said, well, what do you sound like? What kind of music do you play? So I told him, and I put a video up. And after that, about 75% of the responses were D15M. D15M, that's the mahogany top.
Right.
And so I went up to Hanson in Billings, and they had this exact guitar there. And I'd seen it there before and had always avoided it because I didn't think I'd like that mahogany top. And played it a couple times and had Bob play it at me, and all of a sudden...
Bobby?
Yeah.
And Art.
Yeah, Art was there. Yeah. Art was in the back.
Yeah, as usual.
Yeah, so this is... this is Betty Jo. That's her
Betty
name.
Betty Jo. Well, there's a good name for Betty the Jo. Martin guitar. Well, let's hear that, baby.
You bet. Let me get a little capo on here.
We're going to give you a little texture.
Awesome. Nobody to love me, nobody to hate, no one to argue with until I get my way, no one to laugh with, nobody to lay down, no one to sit with me and watch this world go around, nobody home, nobody home. Voices in my head are all that keep me hanging on. There's nobody home. There's nobody home. I guess that's what I get for saying I'd rather be alone. There's nobody home. Oh, nobody to hang with or bum a light. No one to drink some beers and play guitar all night. No one to fight with or throw my bail. No one to pick me up so I don't sleep in jail. There's nobody home. There's nobody home. The voices in my head are all that keep me hanging on. There's nobody home. Nobody home. I guess that's what I get for saying I'd rather be alone. There's nobody home. Nobody to run with or help me chore. No one. No one to chase the cows if I don't shut my door. And nobody to fetch with or take to the vet. Well, since she left, my life's about as country as it gets. There's nobody home. There's nobody home. The voices in my head are all that keep me hanging on. There's nobody home. There's nobody home. Guess that's what I get for saying I'd rather be alone. There's nobody home.
All right, man. Great song.
Thank you.
Is that one of your new ones?
That is one of my new ones, yeah. How'd you tell?
Well, I mean, I've heard you play, you know. I mean, I sneak around through the back doors and check stuff out.
Yeah, that is one of my new ones, yeah.
That's a great little song, man. I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah. What do you think of your Martin through there? You were saying, where do I plug this in? I go, trust me, you don't have to plug it in. That thing is resonant, man. Rock. That's unbelievable.
This is how I want to hear it.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Good.
Great. I even got a text that said, man, great mix. Sounds good. So good. Awesome. So,
hey, Lee, you just did a Wes Urbaniak just did a video for you.
That's right. Yeah,
didn't it? Yeah, that was. I saw you had that on YouTube or on Facebook.
Yeah, so he put that on YouTube, and man, they do an incredible thing up there in Billings. They
Lightbox
sessions.
And, yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, they do.
Is that how people could see it? Go to Lifebox, or how would they see that?
Yeah, it's Lightbox, like Light, Lightbox, and they do dozens of artists, you know, that are around and in town and things like that. And I went out there and they set up and recorded me quick, and it was a good time. It was fun, and man, they did some good work there.
Yeah, that looked good. That was a fun one.
Yeah.
So folks, the ones that are asking, I'm getting a text. Yes, we are recording it, and yes, he does sound good. And before long, you're going to be able to buy his CDs. He's working on one right now.
That's right.
And but you can catch this. Give me a few days to get it up on musicranchradio.com under past shows, and you'll be able to hear the whole show. And trust me, he's got a bunch of great material. And we were talking about that off the air. It's tough to make the decision. You know,
that's
it's
right.
Like you said, you start to think about doing a CD, and then you start writing material. And the ones you thought were great, you're going, oh, well, man, this one's better. You know, I don't know, you know.
Right, right. Yeah, it would. I think it would help if I'd been doing this for as long as I've been playing, you know, straight. But I took a big break several years ago, and I really just got started writing again just a few years ago, so about four, maybe coming up on five, and really got a big boost and you guys know Corey Johnson, of course.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
When he moved out here and started encouraging all of the writers around here, that's when I really started putting, you know, making it part of my routine and actually doing it rather than just when the muse, you know, captured me. So had I been doing it that whole time, I would just go sit down and write an album and be done with it. But I'm at that point where I'm liking all of the new stuff I'm writing, and I'm saying, well, you know, that first one that I did for this album doesn't quite make the cut now. So I take that one out of the lineup, and I just keep doing that and keep doing that.
But you see, let me encourage you by telling you this. Yeah. We don't know that, you know. The only people that know that are the people that buy it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And I hear that all the time, especially when I'm playing out. You know, these writers' rounds that we were doing last year were great. You had Al Cooper on last week.
I did have Al Cooper on, yeah.
Yeah, so I was sitting there playing with him up at one of those writers' rounds, and I said, well, this one Corey Johnson really likes. He thinks it's one of my better songs. I said, I don't really like it. That's of course, back then, that's how I would intro a song and let everybody else decide, I suppose. And I got done playing with it, and Al leaned over, and he goes, that is your best song that you've played tonight. You know, so you just never know if whether you like it or not. I suppose it doesn't really matter.
Well, it's interesting, and I always maintain this: if we knew, hell, we'd be rich. But you don't know,
right?
And
right.
And it's you know, Caleb and I kind of went through that a little bit with some of his stuff. You know, as it turns out, some of the stuff that we both thought, well, you know, this is okay, turned out to be the ones that people go, man, that is a killer too.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So you just don't know, you know. And like I said, music is funny because sometimes the lyrics hit you, and sometimes just the music hits you.
Right.
You just don't know. I always talk about the Hollies.
Yeah.
Long Cool Woman.
Yeah.
You know, I'll bet half the people don't know the lyrics, but they know that down, you know, the intro and the simplicity of the beat. You know, so
you know, those are the only words I know out of that whole song, I would bet.
Yeah. Long Cool Woman in a Black Dress. Yeah, there you go. but you love the song, and there's just something about it that does it for you, you know. So I'll tell you, man, here's the thing. If, as long as you're writing and producing, it's all good.
Right.
There's just maybe one or two that's better than the others, you know, but... you know, anybody,
they're all
I admire,
your babies.
Exactly. They're all your babies. It's like Tony Lane said.
Yeah.
He said, you know, they're like children. You know, you write them and some of them go away and some you wish they would. And they just keep sticking around, you know.
Yeah.
But tell us a little bit about your stint with Bad Intentions.
Oh, that was a good, well, man, I was there a little over a year, I think, with those guys. And it was great for me. It was good and bad for me, I would say. It was great for me to get back into it, really find, like, kind of reclaim my love of country, which I grew up loving country music and always wanted to be a country music performer. And kind of strayed from that a bit. I refer to college as the years that I experimented with jazz. And I was a music major in at Iowa Wesleyan down in southeast Iowa, and played in several blues and jazz groups down there, but always really liked playing country music. Mm-hmm. And when I was living up in Bozeman with my wife Becky and our firstborn Baron, and I literally answered an ad on the internet. It was like a dating thing. And only, you know, it was Craigslist, and it was under the musicians category. And it,
which
it
bands said, are like, you're
right,
dating.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It's a relationship, that's for sure. And it just said, bass player wanted for gigging country band, something like that. And I'd never seen the guys or met them. And so I showed up or, you know, contacted them, and they gave me the call back, and I showed up. And kind of the first one was just kind of hanging out with the other guys and played a couple songs, and that was it. And Kalen wasn't even there for the first one, and they said, well, we're gonna, you know, we'll probably call you back and you'll meet Kalen and we'll kind of do this whole thing again. I said, all right. And came back probably a week later. Kalen was there, and I had no idea how to play the bass guitar. And what
I don't either.
Well, and you'll know this, what I was thinking was, it's bass guitar and it's country music. How hard could it be? Right?
Two less strings. I mean, yeah. Come on, man. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a lot more difficult than blues and
well, here's the thing about bass and drums. I've always said this, yeah, which is hilarious to me. I always said, you know, the lead guitar player, you know, until it's his turn to take a ride, he could go to the bathroom. Nobody would care, you know, and kind of same way with the rhythm guy. You notice the guys that are up there singing, like George Strait, he plays about three strums a song.
Right, yep.
But you let the bass player, the drummer, drop a beat or lose a lick, and the whole world turns around and looks at you.
That's
like,
right.
What the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
So, yeah, it is. It's a lot more difficult than it looks.
Yeah.
But,
well, it was a funny audition, too, because we played a couple songs, and I didn't know any of them, didn't know how to play. And then they did Johnny Come Lately by Steve Earle. They said, well, let's go through this one real quick. And that was one, you know, Kevin Ockham that lives here,
yeah,
in town.
Uh-huh.
And Kevin was pretty influential in getting me back into playing true country, too, because
sure,
he likes the good stuff, you know, Steve Earle, Towns Van Zandt, and the good old Texas boys, I suppose. And I'd played that with him dozens of times, and you know,
so
thought real
in
quick, and I'm like, I know those, I know the bass notes, and I played those, and ended up getting the gig. And as I was leaving, the lead guitar player was kind of showing me the door, and I said, hey, you know, what would have happened if I was some, you know, 65-year-old hippie showed up here? And he laughed, and he goes, that's who you're replacing. And they were, so the guy that was playing bass beforehand, you know, he was long-haired hippie guy.
I take offense 65. To that, by the way.
I know, it's all right.
Yeah, kind of me too.
I'm gonna have to go kick their ass. Where
I think
these guys?
I think it's funny because these guys, I mean, they just wanted to play music, you know.
Now, did you follow them to Austin? No,
I didn't. Nope. Right. I left shortly before they made that move. It was probably a month. Or probably 2 months, I think. Before
now, what about Nashville? Did you go down and do the album? Or
nope, they did that. They did that. Moved back or went back to Bozeman, and they actually that Kickstarter campaign, they dropped our stuff off on kind of on the way down to Austin.
Oh,
they came back
okay.
through. And,
yeah.
So that was a kind of a quick turnaround, but.
You know, yeah. I sense that you're a little nervous. I think you ought to hit that Willie's.
And well,
let's,
man.
And let's do another one.
I don't know
I mean,
that.
Another song. I mean, you know what I mean?
Sure, sure. I'm just going to take a little sip of it, though. I don't want to forget those lyrics.
There you go. Mm. And we're going to have Lee Calvin and play another one on that beautiful, beautiful guitar he's got. Man, that thing sounds great.
All right, this is a song about growing up in Southeast Iowa and small towns and how you, a lot of times a small town can go one of two ways. You know, it can get bigger and expand, or it can kind of like things do around here a little bit, or it can go the other way and just kind of slowly fade, and that's what this song's about.
Just around the corner at the end of the road lives a little old lady and a long lost soul. She'd give anything she had to have her kids around. But there's a lot of lives lost on the edge of this town. In the middle of the table that still looks the same, there's a faded color photo in an antique frame. It's her beautiful daughter in her wedding gown. Just another life lost on the edge of this town. This ain't a place she'll soon forget. Oh, but she don't give a damn about that yet. It don't pay to stick around. There's a lot of lives lost on the edge of this town. Boarded up buildings that make up Main Street like a black and white movie full of misery. The open corner bar's the only thing around. It's taking more lives than the edge of this town. This ain't a place they'll soon forget. Oh, but they don't give a damn about that yet. It don't pay to stick around. There's a lot of lives lost on the edge of this town. Closed the grocery store early last year, and now you gotta cross the county line to buy a case of beer. When you hit the city limit and you put the pedal down, you just stuck a knife into the back of this town. You just stuck a knife into the back of this town. This ain't a place we'll soon forget. Oh, but we don't give a damn about that yet. 'Cause it don't pay to stick around. But there's a lot of lives lost on the edge of this town. Oh, no, it don't pay to stick around. There's a lot of lives lost on the edge of this town.
Well, that was a good one there now. Thank I'm you. Telling you, man. I like that one, too, you know, and I'm getting some texts. I got one here from Patrick says, would he ever consider going on The Voice or some show like that?
Ooh, man.
And, you know, of course, he called us damn long-haired hippies.
oh, and I'm missing sitting there with you guys.
Yeah, I know. It. I love it. That would have been there fun. With the,
yeah.
That would have been good in between two of you when I said that.
So what's your, you know, we've talked about where you come from. Now we're going to talk about where you're going.
Yeah.
And what's your vision? What do you want to do with it right now?
You know, immediately in the future, I'd really like to get something recorded. There's a few people I've got in mind that I'd really like to you know, hand something to that have kind of influenced me in a lot of ways. And, you know, my grandpa, grandma for one, certainly my parents who've always supported me in this, and a few professors that are very influential in my life, stuff like that. So I'd like to get something down for those guys and get it out to them. But right now, you know, I'm working. When I write, it's kind of, I'm doing it two different directions. So I'm writing for the band, the Coal Cars, which is kind of my future band. You know, that's what my.
Do you really have them dialed in who they are yet?
No. The Coal Cars. You know, the nice thing about a coal car or any, you know, anything on a train that you're hooking up is you can remove one and put another one on pretty easy.
Well, for God's sakes, don't get any 65-year-old long-haired hippies playing in that movie.
Hey, if you play steel guitar, man.
If you play steel guitar or fiddle, you're priceless.
Yeah. We don't care. Yeah.
Well, anytime you need an old worn-out hippie, you give me a call. I'll come and play some bass for you, man.
Well, I like Lee Moran on harmonica, too. Yeah. I don't know if he's a hippie, but...
He's a hippie.
He's one of those long-haired.
Oh, yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, there's Lee's been
that
through
whole big
many...
Jim and the Twins is nothing but hippies.
I know it, right?
You know, we've been a backup band a few times on a few albums, you know. We'll have to chit-chat about that.
That's one of the projects. But so I do that, and then the song that I just played there, The Edge of This Town, that's something more I see on a kind of an acoustic album that I do, you know, probably just under the name Lee Calvin.
Right.
So Lee Calvin and the Coal Cars is that's the band I want to do live. That's the one I want to play live with, because there's nothing to me, nothing more incredible than a group of guys that are, or you know, a group of people that are playing together and hitting those.
Yep.
Hitting everything in stride and hitting those.
And country's a whole different beast than a lot of music. You know, I mean, for me, country music, I was always hell on drummers, you know, because when you're playing good country music, you want that kick and the bass together. Yeah. It's got to be there. And you got to leave room. There's got to be a lot of space. Yeah. You know, you don't fill it up with junk.
Right.
You know, my theory about recording is if you got a question, if it should be there, you know, a lot of people go, man, let's put a tambourine on there. You know, do you really want it there? Well, I don't know. Well, if you don't know, then it shouldn't be there.
That's right.
Know?
That's right.
So simple sometimes is the best key.
I think so.
You know, even like on some of Kalen's stuff where we just had the steel guitar in there, you know. Yeah. It's
that adds a lot.
It does. Yeah.
On anything.
Yep. Yep.
When I listen to, you know, some of the guys I'm listening to now, Sturgill Simpson just came out. His last album was really produced. I mean, he had horn sections and everything like that, and that was really cool. One of the guys that comes to mind though is Jason Isbell that plays.
Yep.
And he plays with his band called the 400 Unit, and his wife Amanda Shires, and those that whole group is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason himself is incredible the way he writes, and I'll be listening to him kind of on loop, and it's crazy to me how it will go from that full band to just him and a guitar.
Yep.
On another song, and I don't even realize that until three quarters of the way through. I'm going, that's just him and a guitar.
Well, Jason Isbell and Sturgill Simpson are, you know, Sturgill, it's so weird to me because I'll listen to one of his songs and I go, Now, damn it, that's country, man. I mean, that guy sounds like Waylon Jennings.
Yeah.
And the next song you hear, you go, wow, what is he doing, man? Right. It's totally out of the realm of anything.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I'm a huge fan of both those guys.
Yeah.
But Jason Isbell is probably one of my favorites. Yeah. And he's got some stuff that is unbelievable. So when you get ready to do it, you let me know, because I've got just the guy for you. This guy is so – Jeff Taylor.
Uh-huh.
And Jeff, he might be listening. I don't know, you know. But Jeff has been around a long time. And Brooke Hovland.
Okay.
And Jim Bob, if you're listening in, I'm sorry. Still a player for Kenny Chesney. But according to Brooke says he's a better steel player than Jim Bob.
All right.
Well, is that who did Rick Waples?
He's the one that did Ricky's album, yeah. And a cool thing about him is he's equally as good a guitar player.
Oh, cool.
So you get double the up. Two for the price of one.
That's
because
right.
The guy knows every lick because he played them.
Yeah.
So he adds that steel in there, and, man, you talk about awesome. I used to be on Ricky Waples' album, and it's unbelievable. I'll have to let you listen to some of that.
I've listened to some of it. I've got his album. So,
yeah. There's a guy that's never sang in front of a – never been on a bandstand.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, Ricky.
Yeah.
A bar owner, you know, just wanted to do the thing for his guys with the Wolfhounds. And,
that's right.
That was quite a project for me. It was a tough one to do from the standpoint of reliving a guy's life from Vietnam to – But we'll have to talk about some of that stuff. Maybe we can do something here and get you where you want to go. I've got a request.
Sure.
You've got one, and I know you do it, and I'm just wondering how you if you're thinking about putting this on the Merrimack, man. So.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Man, I haven't played that one in a long time, but...
See, I'm thinking that's one of those that you were going, I don't know, am I putting it on there?
Well, so that one's got a real real connection to home for me, too, because, Merrimack was a little area down by the Skunk River, and for some reason that just became kind of a joke to us. It was, you know, one of my buddies came up with this fictitious Merrimack man, and... For whatever reason, it was he was actually my bass player in a lot of my early bands. His name is Shane Johnson, and he came up with that term. And to me, it always just meant kind of the guys that hang down by the river. And you know, during the summer, I was one of those guys, I suppose. The whole concept of the song.
Wait a minute, you suppose?
I wouldn't call myself a Merrimack man, but I certainly know how to drive a boat. And you go upriver, you know, in one of those old, you know, 16-foot John boats, you go upriver first. And then that way when your Evinrude cuts out, you just float back down to where you started. So,
all right, well, you're tuning up. I got to do this is a sponsor of our show, by the way, which is Willie's.
Oh.
And, you know, rightly so.
Hey, thanks, Willie's.
I got to do this commercial, but we'll be right back. Here we go.
Hey, stranger, where'd you get that whiskey?
It's none of your business where I got the whiskey.
Al?
I asked you where you got that whiskey, and I'm just going to ask you one more time.
Well, I'm telling you, pard. I ain't telling you where I got my whiskey.
Now, stranger, I'm going to ask you again. Where'd you get that whiskey?
Well, I got it. I got it from Willie's distillery up there in Ennis, Montana, but you can just ask the bartender. Oh.
Willie's Distillery, Ennis, Montana, where your favorite water and oil.
All right, so there we go. Willie's, thank you, Willie's. And we're supporting you tonight, by
golly,
right.
Just
so you know.
That's right.
And I'm having a little Willie's vodka and maybe a couple of shots of the honey moonshine. And you as well.
That's right. Friend. Yeah. And that's good stuff, too.
Yeah, exactly. So here we go. Here's Merrimack, man.
Snuck out at night to dance in the bars till about daylight with a handful of dollars and a fake ID. Well, she turned heads down at Old Smoky. across the room, just past the band, stood Skunk River Willie and a Merrimack man. She stood silent as he crossed the floor, and when he kissed her hand, she wanted more. When a North End girl met a Merrimack man, they fell in love after just one dance. But her friends, they don't understand why a girl like that would want a Merrimack man. A North End girl met a Merrimack man. At the foot of the bed, a scene surreal. Muddy muck boots and some red high heel. Well, she wore a shirt and his cowboy hat, and he'd never seen nothing quite like that. A knock on a door from a police call. Her parents want her home. That's not all. Well, all the boy in, cause it just ain't cool. And for a girl like that to fall for a fool. When a North End girl met a Merrimack man, they fell in love after just one dance. But her folks, they don't understand why a girl like that would want a Merrimack man. A North End girl met a Merrimack man. Well, through the back door, jump in the truck, down a mud road where the cops got stuck. He said, pretty baby, we're in the clear. Let's get the hell on out of here. Well, she said, boy, I'm gonna let you know, I'll be right here no matter where we go. And he shot her a wink in the country grin as she slid in close and sat next to him. When a North End girl met a Merrimack man, they fell in love after just one dance. But her folks, they don't understand why a girl like that would want a Merrimack man. North End girl met a Merrimack man. A North End girl met a Merrimack man. A North End girl met a Merrimack man.
Great song. Thank I love you. That song.
Yeah. Good. Well, I'm glad.
Yeah. So we got some text, you know. I thought we got to tell you about this. Annalisa Rose.
Hey, how you doing, Annalisa?
Yeah, from it's down great. In Breckenridge. She's down in Breck. And she says, he sounds great. Lee and I need to do a fiddle duo.
Hey, I am up for that.
And
whenever you're ready.
Annalisa does. She's quite the fiddle player.
Is that right? No, yeah. I mostly know her. Well, and actually we talked about this right before we went on air. She's certainly one of my favorite area songwriters. There's tons of talent around here. And I was telling you the last time I saw her play, I was actually writing down some of the lyrics that she was saying that were just hitting me. And you don't catch yourself doing that with a whole lot of people writing. And so, she's got a great road ahead of her, and I'm looking forward to seeing what else she does. Her and Jess Lechner, too. I really like what she's doing, too.
Well, Jess is going to do I'm working on a little six-song EP for her. She did The Roadhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was here for that, actually.
Yeah. And you know what? I think you should do The Roadhouse.
Oh, I'd love to.
I think that we need to...
That'd be cool.
Yeah. I think we'll do it just before Greg gets back from Illinois.
Yeah. You do all the good ones when I'm gone.
Good.
I shouldn't say that. There's a lot of good ones.
We'll book you in January. How's that sound? We'll do...
Yeah.
We're going to do Lee Kelvin in January in The Roadhouse.
Yes.
That'd be fun.
And we'll wait till Greg gets back. And
when do you come back, Greg?
I'll be back the first week of January, so awesome. Anytime after that.
Hey, that's cool, man. It'll be good to see you guys again.
Yeah.
He's down here, you know, living on the farm.
Yeah?
And, yeah, hopefully we might get a few dribbles of that maple syrup when you come back. Who knows? But
No, I got to come back and end to February for that.
Oh, well, I guess we're stuck with Mrs. Buttersworth.
Yeah. There
So big shout out to Annalisa down there and all your friends down in Breckenridge.
Yeah, to Annalisa.
That's cool.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just there's such great talent around here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that blows me away because you know when you're playing, like I've spent most of my life playing back in the day was 6 nights a week. You know, mm-hmm. And of course we never got to go see somebody else because we're always working.
Yeah.
And the last 3-something years doing radio, I have met and heard more great talent.
Yeah.
Than I've heard in my you know meager 60-some years.
And it's crazy how that works, though, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And I, you know what? I'm just so jacked and excited about it.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm out here. I do my thing, so I try to get to town and hear everybody at least once, you know.
Right.
But it's exciting, and I have met more Nashville musicians, more local talent, mm-hmm. and it's just exciting to me.
Yeah.
To see you guys just you know carry on. You know what I mean? And it's slowly becoming the Red Lodge that it was back in the 70s and 80s.
Right. Well, you know, it's fun because I look forward to that. Not being from here, I've been out here about 9 years now, and you hear a lot about that. You hear a lot about what it used to be, and you know, there's no sense in going backwards, but to kind of bring back the best parts of what that might have been, man, I'd certainly love to be a part of that. That would be fun.
Well, you know, and for a town of 2,200 people, mm-hmm. we've got some great venues.
That's right.
And
so much good music.
And it's all happened over the past few years.
That's right.
Know, just everybody's figured out that that's what people want to do. That's what you want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, and a big shout out to I always say this because I mean it. Is all the local breweries that have? Oh, you're not waving at. Oh, you're waving at the phone. I'm going. Oh,
I'm waving at your cat on the floor.
And there you go. And all these breweries that are having live music, man.
Yeah.
And you know it's a 6:30 to 9:30 gig. Love that, man. That's the way to go.
I was just talking to Wes, who did the Lightbox session for me. He came down to the jam on Tuesday nights at the Snow Creek. Is incredible right now, and put on by a couple local musicians, Justin and Lisa.
Satterfield, Lisa,
and they're doing an incredible job down there. And he showed up for that, and we chatted about that a little bit, and. It's just so cool to see all those people kind of showing up in Red Lodge and having familiar faces when you go out of town, showing up to your gigs. That's always nice.
Yeah.
It's kind of a tight knit community right now, but, there's not, I feel there's not a city in Montana that I couldn't go to and know another musician. So it's kind of nice.
You know, I just took a picture of the board.
Uh huh.
Because I think you've set a record.
Oh, sorry.
Another record, too.
People tuned in from all over the world. And
oh, great.
I just took a picture of it because I'm going to send it to the rock star, Mr. Creasy.
All right.
I'm stuck in a dark room here on keeping away from the noise. So.
Well, you know, I think we do okay. Most people think you're right here with us, you know.
Yeah, I guess it sounds good. I'm just hearing over the phone. So.
You've got all the benefits except for...
The smells.
Where's Willis?
The Willis, you know.
Lee, speaking of videos, you were in on that songwriter's video that Jimmy and I were behind the camera and the soundboard at the Heavy Horse.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And that was a pretty cool thing to see if people want to, you know, find that.
I don't know,
it's on YouTube somewhere, but that was some awesome video and the sound and everything from that with you and Corey, Jonas Morissette.
That's right, Jonah, yeah.
Charlie Brandine.
Yeah.
That was a good time. You know, kind of getting used to all these new mediums is difficult for me because most of my performance over the last say 8 years has been by myself, you know. while I might be my harshest critic, I also kind of give myself a break every once in a while. So being in front of a camera and being behind a microphone, you know, live like this, and
that was some good close-ups too on that on
yeah.
those videos too.
Oh man, so. they turned out really well. I hear those guys that did that are going to be doing some really cool stuff coming up. I hope to see be a part of that too. That'd be great.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, he is a the guy that does that. Mm-hmm. He was a keyboard player for the Garretts for many years.
Yeah,
and he's a killer musician.
Well, man. I didn't even know he could play until I ran into him the other day. Yeah,
awesome piano player.
That's great.
Yeah, he's probably one of the best in the Northwest.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah, really great guy. And I've known Mark for 35 years. I don't know. I mean, who's counting? Do another one for us, man.
You know,
this hour just slips by, just bang. It's all like... Right.
I better do this one. I wrote this song back when... I didn't have a writing partner, but a girl who used to live here, you know, Brenna Hivenen.
Yep.
She used to live here, and we'd basically just bounce ideas. We'd get together once every, say, month or so, and just kind of bounce ideas off of each other, what we were writing and stuff like that. And I had written this song, and it was really contrived at the time, and she said, kind of in a really nice way, she's like, it's not quite right, you know, just... didn't tell me any more than that. She's like, it just doesn't fit. And so I put it on the back burner for a while and eventually got it back out and just rearranged the chorus a little bit and completely rewrote the rest of the song and different premise and everything. And it turned out to be probably certainly my best known song and the one I get requests for more often than anything else. So this one's called Blackbird. I called it Blackbird.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Great song, man.
It's not the Beatles version, and people have pointed that out to me, but I don't think anybody will mistake it, so... One day in mid-July, my brother Jim and I went to take a swim down at the creek. The water was so high, I barely made it out alive. But Jimmy couldn't swim as good as me. Well, I ran home so fast, on the front porch I collapsed. My rubber legs just couldn't push no more. So I yelled out to my mom that her youngest son was gone. And Daddy caught her before she hit the floor. And the blackbird sang in the willow side. Daddy got drunk and Mama cried. She ran down to the water's edge where she folded her hands and bowed her head. She bowed her head and closed her eyes. Begged Jesus for his life. Well, damn this world, she cried. Hope you're waiting on the other side. Well, I wore my very best when we laid him down to rest. And Daddy clenched a bottle in his fist. But the hardest thing to see, an empty casket in front of me. 'Cause Mama couldn't give him one last kiss. And the blackbird sang in the willow side. Daddy got drunk and Mama cried. She ran down to the water's edge where she folded her hands and bowed her head. She bowed her head and closed her eyes. Begged Jesus for his life. Well, damn this world, she cried. I hope you're waiting on the other side.
20 years have passed since I'd seen him last, and my mind still fears the echo of the creek. But every now and then, when I think of Brother Jim, a gentle breeze will kiss me on the cheek. And the blackbird sings and the willow sighs. Daddy's long gone and Mom still cries. She put a cross by the water side. Time to time we all stop by. We all stop by and squint our eyes. Watch the sun drop through the sky. And no part of us has died. We know he's waiting on the other side. And no part of us has died. We know he's waiting on the other side.
Great song, man.
Thank you.
Oh.
Kind of a tearjerker, a little bit. Huh?
Yeah. My son just texted me, that's the saddest song of all time.
I'm a little bit quaint. I got a little Maloik going here, just, you know.
It's not an easy one to sing, and usually when I'm by myself, I don't hold it back at all, you know.
Right.
When you're on stage and whatnot, you'll see people kind of wipe their eye after that second verse, you got to keep going, you know, and it gets kind of hard sometimes, but that's one of those, like I say, it didn't fall in my lap, but, after, you know, a good quality critique from another songwriter that I admire, I was able to kind of take it to the next level.
Sure.
And, that kind of collaboration is always welcome in my book. So, yeah.
Well, you know what? You're a great guy, man.
Thank you.
I like your style. I like what you do. You're humble, and to me, that's a big deal. And this has just been a great night. We got time for probably one more.
Okay.
But I'm going to let Greg, the rock star Creasy, I know he's just itching to ask you something.
All right, let's hear you, man.
I've already talked about the video and all that stuff, but let's hear where you're going to be in the next week or two for anybody that's out that way that wants to come see you.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, thanks for
mentioning
that.
You're doing a lot at the Jupiter, I see.
Yeah, man, the Jupiter down in Cody is a really cool place to play. I love it down there because you get a lot of people that are there to listen to music, and that doesn't always happen. So I'm playing.
Yes, that's the best thing.
Oh, love it. I'm playing there on Saturday, this coming Saturday. That's the 2nd of December. I'm playing my obviously my last, but one of my only gigs here in Red Lodge is up at the Beer Stube at the Mountain. That's on the 9th.
Yeah,
and so the following Saturday. And that'll be, I believe, from 3 to 6 there, 8 to 10 down at the Juniper. And then I think the next thing I've got lined up is going to be up at the Craft Local in Billings, and that's on the 30th. I'm looking forward to that one. That's the New Year's Eve party. So Eve of New Year's Eve on Saturday.
The safe one.
Yeah, and it's going to be kind of a multi-musician night up there, and I'll be closing it out. And I played there once, and that was another great spot where it's celebrating artistry of all kinds. You've got art on the walls. You've got sculpture. You've got live music that's local, and one of my favorite art forms of all time is craft beer, and they've got plenty of that on tap. So. it's a good time up there. So that's on the 30th.
So he's refraining from playing in Red Lodge till after the Roadhouse.
That's right. Yeah, I've been saving
January,
up for that.
21st.
Yeah,
Lee told me that he was smitten with the Roadhouse.
Oh man, I love it. And for anybody listening that hasn't been out here yet, you've got to come out.
It's probably a little intimidating at first until you come your first time and say, "Oh my God, this place is so cool."
There's just something different about watching somebody live in a bar, and we're all used to that. We understand, you know, people come to socialize, and they're not necessarily,
or they come to eat dinner.
Sure,
or whatever they do.
And there's you're predominantly you're the background, and maybe for 5%,
you just happen
to
be there when they're coming to do other things.
That's right. That's right. So. And we understand that. But to see somebody actually in their element and you know, it's completely vulnerable like that is a really cool thing. So if you get a chance to come out here to Jimmy's Roadhouse, it's a short drive from town here in Red Lodge, and a really, really cool venue. It's intimate. There's 40, maybe 40 seats.
40 seats.
40 seats.
And bring your own coolers.
We could push 44 if we had to.
That's right. Yeah.
And if you didn't know everybody when you got here, you damn sure know when you leave.
Exactly.
You
know? And it's just a beautiful thing. It's something I was looking forward to seeing around here. Mm-hmm. And then when you pulled it off.
And if you get Shirley to come, everybody gets fudge.
Or if you get Curtis to come, everybody gets ribs or pulled
pork.
Oh, yeah,
that's right.
You know, it's a cool thing because Nashville, you know, down in Nashville now, the house concerts are a big thing.
That's right, yeah.
And
yeah.
That's what they're doing now. And that's the reason because, you know, I'll tell you, you know, I'm like on the downhill slide, you know, for me as far as a performer. But there's nothing that annoys me more than to go into a club and to see three big screen TVs playing. Ooh. Well, they pay.
Above
they
pay. The band.
Yeah, yeah, directly
they
above
pay
your
you
band, yeah.
To be there. And so the first thing I do is shut those off, and you'll notice there's no big screen TVs at the Roadhouse.
Yeah.
And you know, I it's like I told Lee, Kelvin, you know, when you first come here, and I've seen guys that's been playing all their life, mm-hmm. that are a little bit intimidated because it's just they're here to see you. That's why they came.
Yeah.
They came to see you. They're with you all the way.
Yeah.
They clap after every song.
That's right.
And, man, we've had some great talent here. I wish you could have come out and seen David Starr.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And this guy's out on tour right now with John Oates from Hall & Oates.
Oh, wow.
And,
oh, wow.
And I mean, he was so great and so gracious.
With such a nice guy, too.
Yep, just with his time. Humble. Great guitar player. And I can hardly wait for you to come out here because I think, you know, your style and what you do is what we're about here.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Yep. Well,
I'd love to play, you know, if it's enough time, I'd love to play that first set, you know, Lee Calvin, and the second set with the Coal Cars, you know, kind of a light acoustic set of the Coal Cars would be kind of fun, too. If that's a possibility.
You know what? We haven't done that yet, but it's doable. We've got 16 channels up there.
And, oh, that's plenty.
You know, we got 3,000 watts and 16 channels.
Right. But, well, you only cool need thing, one for bluegrass.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
But, not that I'll play
we'll have to chat about that. That might be kind of kind of a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, because Levi, of course, is augured in here.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like the son I never had named Levi.
Yeah.
Drummer son, right?
I spent my life, I swear to God, it's like, you know, I got two drummers in my life, and they're both named Levi. One's my son, one isn't.
Right.
The one that isn't looks like me more than the one that is. So I spend my life going, no, he's not my son.
That's
my
right.
son is a little slight built kid that plays for Clinton's band, you know, and, but I tell you, I what a blessed guy to have those two guys in my life.
Oh,
and,
for sure.
And what both of them, excellent drummers. You know,
they are. They're incredibly talented.
Well, Lee, I have so appreciated having you here tonight. And
thank you.
And we're going to go a little bit over. We're going to have you do another song.
All right.
And you just pick the one that you want everybody out there. And I got to tell you, I got a full board, and that doesn't happen that often.
Buddy. Yeah.
And we got people in Germany and Argentina and all over the world listening in.
Right.
And you pick the song that you want everybody to hear.
Well,
oh, now you're on the spot, Lee.
I know,
oh, man.
Right?
That's a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure.
I kind of did a couple sad ones. So here's one. I'm going to do a. This is a pretty new one, too. This one's. This one's about if you ever asked that, finally got the nerve up to ask that girl out, because this happened to me when I was really broke, slightly broker than I am now. And said, hey, do you want to hang out? And I was thinking, you know, rent a movie, because that's about $3.50 back then. And she said, yeah. She said, me and my friends are going out to blank. She proceeded to name the most expensive bar in the county because it was her friend's birthday. So I had about $7, and I'm sitting there in my mind going, how do I turn this $7 into a real night out? And Well, going down to the pool hall and playing pool was the only way I could think about it. This is a pretty fictitious song, but
well, it must have worked because you got Becky.
That's right. That's right. Becky was thrilled with my pool prowess.
There you go.
Anyways, that's what this song's about. It also might be about a pretty distinct car. This one, I'm going to dedicate this to my sisters, Lena and Lindsay. They're both living down in Phoenix right now, and we used to call it the car truck, but that's what this song is here.
Cool.
El Camino will get you where you want to go, but I can't afford to take you for a ride in my El Camino. Well, we could still park it though and watch the corn grow. So baby, climb inside. Well, I've got an empty tank and a five in my hand, and I said I'd take you out tonight, so I'm in a jam. Well, we could buy five in gas and we could cruise downtown, but we'd only get half a dozen laughs before I shut her down in my El Camino. We'll get you where you want to go, but I can't afford to take you for a ride in my El Camino. But we could still park it though if you want to, so baby, climb inside. Took that fiver down to the new pool hall, and I caught a lucky break and I sank the old eight ball. So I thought I'd double down for just a few more games, and now I've got 40 bucks and a full tank to my name in my El Camino. Will get you where you want to go, and now I can't afford to take you for a ride in my El Camino. But we could still park it though if you want to, so baby, climb inside. Well, if you want to, well, just climb inside.
Oh, man, that's a great song right there. I'm telling you, that's the one. That is the one.
Well, I'll listen to you, Jimmy.
Man, I'm thinking the whole time you're playing it, I'm going, God, I want to produce this one. This one here, man. That'd be cool.
Well, maybe we'll have to end this whole thing on a handshake then.
All right. Well, we could do that.
Yeah, gives you the itch.
Yeah.
You know, that's my problem is I hear great stuff. And I'm telling you, man, people that are tuned in, and they're tuned in. We got a full house tonight.
Oh, that's great.
And the people that are tuned in, you are listening to what's coming next.
Yeah, thanks.
And, you know, it doesn't happen very often. I don't get that little shiver right behind my ponytail from that old gray-haired hippie. But I've got a little shiver going here, and I'm telling you, you are listening to the next best thing.
Oh, thank you.
Let's see, who is it that got the song, Next Best Thing?
Oh, and, man, I don't know.
Yeah, come on now. I got it. I'll figure it out.
Get your Google up there.
Yeah. But that's the next best thing. And we've been listening to Lee Calvin. And, man, I appreciate you coming out tonight.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
And we've had just a blast. And, Greg, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Oh my God, I'm looking forward to the Roadhouse now. And, yeah. You know, I think I saw you a couple years ago out at Sam's Tap for a songwriter's thing,
right,
and then just
yeah.
last at the Harvest time. That's like the only two times I got to actually see you perform live.
Oh, great.
Well, except
yeah.
when I was behind the camera, but
yeah.
man, that'll be cool out there. Yep.
I got to be honest with you. I've heard Lee Kelvin many times, and tonight is a new experience for me. Because whatever you're doing it right. Because that last song's a hit. I'm telling you.
Thanks.
It's been, and
I really got to thank everybody that's come before me too. My professors back in college that you know showed me that how joyful music can be and how much it can be a great part of your life. And then everybody up to you. I mean, you guys, the guys that I go out and try to go out and see whenever I can. Corey Johnson for sure for getting me back into songwriting. Kevin Akema for getting me back into actually playing guitar and singing songs. You know, all you guys. It's been a
you can
really
say it, us old bastards. Yeah.
yeah, all you old bastards. That's right.
Got your passion back.
That's yeah. right, man. And I'll tell you what, it's great to see somebody young and into it.
Thank you.
And don't quit because you got a great future going here.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
All right, man. That's been Independent Artist Spotlight here at Music Ranch Radio. And this, along with other great shows, you're going to hear every Wednesday night. Next Wednesday night, we got Kalen Beasley. And this is the first time we've ever done this. We've got his dad coming, Justin Beasley.
That'll be great.
And it's going to be a great thing and a lot of fun. And I think we're going to be able to have Greg the Rockstar back because they're going to be live in the studio.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to
need a mic.
There you go. We're going to sign off for tonight. And thank you very much. And I tell you, you don't have his stuff yet, but you're going to have it damn soon. And Lee Kelvin, he's up and coming. And, we're getting all kinds of text here.
Lee, great to have you on tonight. That was
thanks,
awesome,
Greg.
And I'll see you in January for sure.
You bet. I look forward to it, man.
All right, we're going to leave you with some Van Morrison. There we go. We'll do that.